Talk to the animals. Just imagine it, chatting with a chimp and chimpanzee. Imagine talking to a tiger, chatting with a cheetah. What a neat achievement it would be.
Hi, this is Jacques Schiller, host of Pet Chat, here on 1180 WFYL. Want to welcome everybody today. It's a beautiful Saturday. It's 12:05, and where are your little kitties and your doggies? Well, we're going to be talking about all sorts of critters today, and we have a great guest from the SPCA, Steve Conway, and we'll get to him in a second. But I wanted to remind everybody, if you had a second and you wanted to hit an email address, info@1180wfyl.com, you can ask questions of the show. You can put in suggestions for upcoming guests, or you could actually just call at 610-783-6394. Ask your questions direct. Make any comments or suggestions. I'm Jacques Schiller. Actually on the show go as Jacques Doolittle because the animals love me. And I'm with a company called Soap and Bean Pet Care. It covers the King of Prussia and surrounding areas, the main line, and we do daily, weekly, we do overnights for folks that are going on long-term vacations and want someone to watch their house along with their pets. So if you're considering someone who is bonded, licensed, and insured, that way you are covered and we're covered, and we know if there's any accidents, there's not going to be any suits involved. So that's Soap and Bean Pet Care. You could find us on www.soaphbeanpetcare.com. Soaphbeanpetcare.com. Okay, we're going to get to our guest now. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Jacques. Thanks for letting me come in today.
Oh, it's our pleasure. You're with the SPCA. How long have you been with them?
I've been there for about 7 years. I actually just passed my 7-year anniversary this past week.
Okay. Well, you look like you're about 20, so you must have started when you're 14, huh?
Close enough.
So what are your duties over there?
I have three duties. My title is Humane Educator, and what I do at the SPCA is I do school programs for anywhere from preschools through high schools, talking to kids about different topics, how to be safer in animals, how to care for animals, how much would cost a month to take care of an animal, the animals in their habitats, and then for the older kids, high school kids, I'll talk about animal hoarding, puppy mills, things like that. I usually bring out an animal with me. I have three animals that I bring out. One is a golden retriever. His name is Faith. She's about 7 years old. I've had her pretty much the entire time I've been at the SPCA. I also have a rabbit whose name is Jack. He's also about 7 years old.
Jack Rabbit, yeah.
Very original, I know. I didn't come up with the name myself, but someone named it that, and I figured, well, it's catchy. We'll just stick with it.
That's right.
And then I have an 8-year-old cat whose name is Maury. He comes out with me occasionally as well. He does more of the other part, which is called pet therapy. Faith, the dog, is a licensed therapy dog. We take her out to hospitals, nursing homes, senior centers, entertain the people that are there. And Jack will go with me, and Maury will go with me as well. Usually bring out one animal at a time because I only have two hands.
Sure.
And with Faith, Faith loves the opportunity to get a chance to meet the people at these hospitals and senior centers. She also enjoys a chance of trying to eat crumbs off the floor. So anytime there's crumbs on the floor.
Hunger pains. Yeah.
After lunch, then, you know, any kind of a crumb within about a 2-mile radius, she's very happy. So I bring those animals out.
What kind of dog is Faith?
Golden Retriever.
Golden Retriever. So she's a pretty good-sized dog.
She's about 75 pounds last time we weighed her. And sometimes I take her for a walk. Sometimes she takes me for a walk. So it works out well that way.
Right. I had Thumper, again, another original name, mm-hmm. A rabbit, a white rabbit. And I'd pick him up, and when I dropped him, you know, not a large drop, just I dropped him on the rug, he would always thump. Mm-hmm. And it was, I guess, his recognition that he either wanted to know, let me know that he was there, or he just liked the fact that now he was free.
Yeah.
So any strange habits of your rabbit, Jack?
One thing that he has been known to do, I take him out to public events, and I'll have our informational cards on the table, and all of a sudden, if he does get a little bit more on the nervous side, I'll notice that he starts to eat some of the cards on the table. Mm-hmm. One thing he also seems to do, I did a program recently where this happened, is that I'll have him outside of his carrier, and he'll be on the floor walking around, then he will just all of a sudden, I guess he's telling me it's time to go home, he will hop back into his carrier.
Ah.
And it's not when he's on the floor, he has to kind of jump up, not a very big jump, maybe like a couple inches off the ground, but jump into the carrier, and I guess telling me, all right, time to go home, so.
Time to go home. Now, is he like, I don't know if all rabbits do this, but I had two rabbits. I had the big white rabbit, mm-hmm. Thumper, and I had a little miniature rabbit with pink eyes, mm-hmm. and he was a dwarf rabbit, I believe, mm-hmm. and both of them had their own cat box, and they literally, anytime they had to go to the bathroom, they just jumped into their cat box, mm-hmm. just like a cat would. Is that normal behavior for rabbits?
With the cat litter in the
Yeah, in a like a cat box?
Well, we tried that with him one night. The next morning when I got up, it turns out that he had dumped it overnight. So I guess I figured, hey, this is not for me. I'm not a cat, so don't try and turn me into a cat. The wood shavings he have in the bottom of the cage, that's what he uses, and he's fine with that.
Right.
He's in the cage a lot because the dog has free range. So, and the dog is very friendly, but Jack may not like it so much. So we usually have him up in his cage, and it's a few feet off the ground. So we need to make sure that he stays in there, but no, we tried that one night, just didn't work out very well.
Right. Well, I think the good thing is wherever they go, because it's like dry pellets. It's almost like food. You know, wouldn't want to eat it, but it's dry pellets and it doesn't make a big mess.
No, that's true.
Okay, so you're at the SPCA. You've been there for 7 years. Mm-hmm. Where's your location?
We have three locations in the county, Jacques. We've got our main shelter's in Conshohocken. It's on Ridge and Butler Pike, not too far from Ridge and Butler Pike. It's across the street from a supermarket and next door to a bank and a cleaner's. We've been there for about 105 years. Mm-hmm. That's our main location.
We have literally 105 years?
It's been there about 105 years,
wow.
Yes. We have another shelter. We might move around a little bit, but we've been in around for 105 years. Maybe not that exact location, but we've been a group for 105 years. Other location is up in Perkiomenville. If you know, we're 73 and 29 kind of split up there in Schwenksville. We're about 3 miles from there on the corner of Little and Sweesford Roads. We have all of our farm animals. Because once in a while, we do get some farm animals in the shelters, and they all go up there regardless of where in the county they're found, because they are equipped up there to take care of any kind of farm animals. And then our other shelter is in Abington at the corner of East and Edgehill Roads, not too far from the Willow Grove Mall, if you're familiar with that area down there. We've been there for about 20 years. It was an old vet hospital we converted into a shelter about 20 years ago. It's our smallest shelter of the three, and those are the three shelters we have in the county.
My wife would know the Willow Grove area since she grew up in that area. Mm-hmm. I had no idea the SPCA was that old. Was it a national organization that was founded around the turn of the century?
I mean, we've been around for about that long. We were an offshoot of, I think it was the Women's Humane Society in Bensalem, and then we just kind of grew off of that. But it was a national organization. I forget exactly when it was founded, but so we've been a part of this county for the little over 100 years.
Okie dokie. So what are some tips when you're adopting, say, a dog or a cat? Is it different? Obviously, it's different. Why don't we take one at a time?
Yeah.
What are some tips about adopting a dog?
Adopting a dog, one of the things you have to understand first is that we were always encouraged to adopt. The animals that are there are looking for homes, obviously. And people may think that the animals are in the shelter because of some sort of bad thing that they did. And that's not necessarily the case. They were victims of maybe a death in the family, an illness, or a move. Maybe someone is allergic, they didn't realize that, or sometimes they get a second dog, and the dogs don't really seem to get along very well, so they bring one dog back. So it's people think that maybe they're animals that didn't do very well at home. It's not necessarily the case. And one other thing that we do at the SPCA that some shelters do, we have just started them in the past year, is we also microchip animals. The dogs and cats get microchipped as a help for tracking in case they ever were to get lost. But one of the things you do when you go in or you like to adopt a dog, first thing is ask yourself some questions before you decide what kind of a dog that you'd like to get. One of the things is you know, are you a single adult looking for a dog who can go places with you? Are you an active person that wants a jogging partner? Are you maybe an older adult that just wants a companionship animal?
Right.
And maybe not one that's going to need a lot of exercise and walking. You can get animals that...
Just a lot of loving.
Yeah. I mean, just that companionship. And that's great for older dogs as well. Some dogs have a lot of fur. Some dogs don't. If you don't like the idea of trying to brush a dog's fur on a daily basis, maybe one that has a little bit less in the way of fur. Also, if you live in an apartment, what kind of size limitations does your landlord put on? Because even in an apartment, they're probably not going to say the whole St. Bernard thing, probably not going to work out for you, but they have,
right.
they have a smaller dog, so you need to figure out how big of a dog that you're allowed to have in there. So those are questions you need to ask yourself before you go into the shelter. And then once you go into the shelter to see what kind of dogs an SPCA or a shelter would have, ask some questions of the shelter staff that is there. First thing is, what about the dog's history? How old is it? Is it housebroken? Is it like children? Has it been spayed or neutered? Why was it turned in? When was it turned in? Information such as that.
Right.
And also, the shelter staff and the volunteers that are there will work with the animals on a daily basis. They'll see the animal. They'll see their behavior. And they'll be able to answer some questions such as, well, what have you seen? Does the animal like other dogs? Is it like other animals you have at the SPCA? How's your attitude to having children around? If children have passed by the cages in the time that he's been there. Is it easy to walk on a leash? Is it the kind of thing where you walk the dog or is the dog walking you? So really important questions to ask just before you even think about considering adopting an animal. Then once you get there, look in the cages. You can't go in the cages, but just look at the cages from the outside and see, are they friendly animals? Are they wagging their tails? Do they want to come to the cage to you? They want to say hi to you, or they're trying to hide in the back of the cage. If you have young children and you want to adopt an animal, if an animal is hiding in the back of the cage, you may not want to stay away from that because your kids might be active and you might want more of an active dog. So if they're trying to hide in the back, you might want to steer clear of that. But don't have that be a complete a complete no, because there are some animals that are very nervous. You get them in a shelter environment.
Right. They might not be themselves.
Yeah. I mean, especially if they're new into the shelter environment, you don't really know. They could be scared. It's a very nervous situation for them. So, and if you get an animal outside of the cage, if you get a chance to say hi to it and greet it in a room a little bit later on, you might see a completely different dog than what you've seen inside the cage. So, if they're a little bit shy, don't let that be too much of a deterrent for you.
Right, right. Now, I've always picked up my pets from the SPCA. Down in Georgetown, I picked up a cat.
Okay.
And that's Jilly Bean of Soph and Bean Pet Care. She's the Bean. She's Jilly Bean. And Sophie. She's my 22-year-old cat.
Mm-hmm.
She had a dog companion for 14 years, and that dog died. And so we needed a companion. And we couldn't have dogs in our condominium over here in the area. So we also have a condominium down in Lewis, Delaware. So we went to the SPCA. We picked up this little cat. They did chip it. They put the chip in, just as you said. And she was just a little tiny kitten. So we just put her in the car. We didn't think anything of it. Before you knew it, she was up in the brake and power pedal area, and we couldn't get her down. Now, it's not connected to the engine, so we knew she couldn't get into the engine, but it did have a space up there. It took us about a half an hour to pull her down. She was just very skidgety, and all this new environment was just a little bit too much for her. So we brought her home, and we thought that would be the end of it. Well, Sophie, who was queen of the lair, didn't want anything to do with this little kitten. So when she went out in the bushes, she didn't come back. So now it's 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock at night. My wife's saying, go find Sophie. And I'm going up and down. There's three stories of the condominium. Going up and down the staircase, looking for Sophie, going to cars, looking under cars. Don't find her anywhere. Well, all night long, about every 2 hours, my wife had me get up, look for Sophie. In the morning, about 9 o'clock, I'm on one of these walks looking for Sophie, and I get a cell phone ring, and it's a young couple over in the next building. They're on the third floor. They said they came in about 2 o'clock in the morning, and they noticed these really bright eyes underneath a car next to where they parked. And they pulled the cat out, and it was Sophie, and they took her up. They said it was too late to give us a call and called us in the morning. We brought her home, and after a short while, she, of course, got accustomed to Jelly Bean, and now they're the best of friends. Mm-hmm. So definitely familiar with SPCA adoptions.
Mm-hmm.
So what's different about a cat adoption from a dog adoption?
Well, I mean, one of the things is and I saw this when the cat that I have now, Maury, I take him out to schools and programs like that. The first day was just a big adjustment period. One of the things is, the first day you get a cat home, one of the things you just need to do is just let it relax, let it start to warm up very, very slowly. Just putting the cat into the main part of the house and just letting it run free for the entire day, it would be a little bit overwhelming for them early on. So,
right.
Maybe it's like a very closed-in area, a bedroom or a small room, ways they can kind of acclimate themselves to the house.
And get the smells.
Yeah. But have the litter box there, the food, the water. And if that's possible to make that where you have a litter box at that point, if you can make that place for your litter box for the entire time the cat is there, that'd be great. They say usually about one litter box per floor of the house. If you have cats at home. But just, you know, let them get themselves acclimated. And then if you have another cat in the house, let it take some time. It's really believed that especially when the new cat is younger, smaller, but every cat is different. Personalities and experiences of the cats are going to change.
Sure.
Are going to be different. But usually after about a week, you can progress the next steps about getting the cats acclimated. But for the first week or so, you may want to have to feed the cats on opposite sides of the door. If the new cat seems acclimated, might be time to introduce him a little bit sooner. But again, let a few days pass before you introduce the cats. And as I said with the dogs before, a lot of people think that cats being brought into a shelter, there's something wrong with the cats. That's not entirely true.
Right.
The cats are just the part of bad circumstance where people were moving. They new place won't take cats. Nothing wrong with the cat, but they just couldn't have the cat in their new place. So. Just understand that, you know, a lot of the cats there are very nice, very friendly, and want to come home with you. So,
now, I was going to ask, do you folks have a truck that goes around looking for strays?
We don't do that. What we'll do is people will call the SPCA, and it needs to be in a contained area. We try and see if the people can go out and get them. I mean, we do have we have animal police officers. That have gone out to get animals in the past. I know one time we had to get it was a bird, I think, somewhere. It might have been Valley Forge Park.
The pet patrol.
but we've had to go out and get animals before. But usually it's not if they're just kind of roaming free, because if you call us and the animal is in this location, by the time we get there, it might be in some other location.
Sure,
so,
sure.
For that reason, we say if it's possible for the animals to be brought in by you, but be very careful approaching the animal because you're not sure the animal's environment and how it might be around new people. So be very careful about things like that. But a lot of the cats that we get in, they're ready to go into homes. They've had training. A lot of them are housebroken. They've been socialized with other animals before, so they're ready to go home. And really, it's a good thing for kids as well, because it's a great way to teach kids responsibility. And taking care of an animal with the feeding, giving of water. As far as a cat is concerned, changing a litter box as well. So it's a great way for kids to get the idea of having responsibilities of maybe having an animal as a pet in the home. That could be with cats, with smaller animals, with rabbits, with hamsters, even with goldfish too. Anything like that. It's a great way to teach kids responsibility. But make sure that you have the time to plan for an animal as well. And this is dogs, cats, whatever. any animal you have at home is going to need your time and your attention. So make sure that you have the time and the attention to spend with that animal. And also, one thing that people don't realize is how much money it can cost. Now, the adoption fees of the SPCA are $65 for dogs, $25 for cats, and $5 for the rabbits and hamsters and
such. That's to pay for the shots. And
yeah, and that's the adoption fee. We do the first round of shots, also spay and neuter as well. But after the first round of shots, it's up to your vet after that. We are not an open to the public clinic. So after the first round of shots, it's up to your own vet to go from there. But make sure that you understand about things like food, beds, collars, tags, grooming, microchipping, vet care. It adds up. So make sure before you adopt an animal, make sure that you have the time and the resources financially to make sure that you can spend time with that animal.
Sure. Now, if my cat ran away, Jellybean, who was chipped at the SPCA down in Georgetown, they would be able to look up the number of the chip, and it had a GPS in it, so they could say generally or specifically where the cat was?
Yeah, I mean, you can figure out with the chip number, you should be able to figure out, because we have scanners at the SPCA that will scan, and if it has a chip, we'll be able to read the number on it, and then we can trace it back to whomever that is. I don't know if it reacts outside the state of Pennsylvania, but I know for anything that's been done in Pennsylvania, it'll show up, and then we can trace it back that way. But since your cat was chipped in a different state, I don't know how that works.
Okay, so now it's a one-way tracing. If a cat is found by the SPCA and it has a chip, they'd be able to run the scanner on it to see who it's who it was sold to or who adopted it.
Right.
But you can't, if a cat runs away from the SPCA, look to see where that cat is specifically. Can't go that way, right?
I don't think we have any GPS technology where if a cat runs away, we can't go to a computer and say, okay, well, the cat is located here, so we know where to go to find it. I don't think that we have that kind of technology.
Gotcha. Now, what is the length of time before a cat or dog can be adopted when they come into the SPCA?
What we'll do is with some of the animals, they're up for applications, and we usually take about a week time with the applications to look for that. Others are general adoption. They can go home the same day. What we will also do for application, it'll take about a week for the process. But some animals that are adopted up for general adoption, they can go home the very same day. Unless it's not already been spayed or neutered, then it has to stay, and then it goes home the day after the spay and neutering. But some animals, it depends on the animal. Some animals can go home the same day. Some animals can go home after a week, after the application process.
Now, there's no way of knowing what shots, say, a cat or a dog has had. So other than the spayed neutering, obviously, you can see that.
Yes.
You'll always give the appropriate shots, even if they, unbeknownst to you, though they've had them.
Rather to be safe than sorry, we have about 3 or 4 shots that we will give to the animals just to make sure everything's on the up and up, everything's healthy with the cat or the dog. But yeah, even if we're not 100% sure what they've had or what they haven't had, we'll always give the shots before adoption.
Okay, believe it or not, that's the end of our first segment. It goes pretty quick, doesn't it, Steve?
It does.
It's amazing. All right. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to be back here on Pet Chat, here on 1180 WFYL, and we'll be back momentarily, so don't go away.
I'd say I'm phosphorus, can't you? If I conferred with our furry friends, man to animal, think of the amazing repartee. If I could walk with the animals, talk with the animals.
Hi, everybody. Phil Valentine here. It's great to be back on the air in Philly, and especially when my show is being broadcast from the Cradle of Liberty, Valley Forge area, home of freedom-loving patriots both in times past and today, right here on WFYL 1180 AM.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
Friends, Janet Parshall here, host of In the Market with Janet Parshall. I'm excited about partnering with 1180 AM WFYL to bring you a fast-paced conversation every Sunday. As you listen to In the Market, we'll examine major news stories and issues, equipping you to be bold when voicing truth in a confused and chaotic culture. I look forward to engaging my new friends at 1180 AM WFYL every Sunday at 12:05 p.m. on In the Market.
Stand in the Gap Weekend with Sam Rohr and Gary Dull of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network features a message from one of the nearly 3,000 church leaders that are members of the Pennsylvania Pastors Network. The mission is to build a permanent network of pastors across the state that are dedicated to affirming the authority of Scripture and taking seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Every day, we're working to impact the nation's values by encouraging pastors to lead their churches in addressing today's toughest issues, including the deterioration of traditional marriage, pornography, sexual permissiveness, and abortion. You're invited to join us in the battle for truth.
Airing Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and streaming Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. on our website, 1180WFYL.com.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
My name is Nancy Becker, and I am your Recorder of Deeds here in Montgomery County. It's very important for the veterans to be aware that they should record their DD-214 or military discharge in the Recorder of Deeds office. This is important because when a veteran passes, the funeral director will usually contact the Recorder of Deeds office so that they can arrange for a military funeral. And this relieves the burden of family members of trying to find this very important document. But the most important reason is that we are now issuing a veteran's photo ID card that entitles the veterans to discounts and incentives from nearly 400 businesses here in Montgomery County. All the veteran has to do is come into the Recorder of Deeds office at 1 Montgomery Plaza in Norristown. Parking is always free for our veterans. You just come into the parking garage and tell them you're a veteran and you can park free of charge. Bring along your DD-214 and a photo ID. We'll issue you the veteran's photo ID, give you a list of the businesses that are participating. It takes about 10-15 minutes at the most, and this way you will be receiving these discounts. The incentive for the business to do this is we advertise your business free of charge. My website gets about 1,000 hits a week, so the potential for over 1,000 people of seeing your business is there. Also, every veteran gets a list of all the businesses participating. They get it when they come into the office, and we email them to them every 3 to 4 weeks so that the veteran is aware of the new businesses we have. Veterans of Montgomery County, please come into our office. It would be my honor to shake your hand and thank you for your service to our country.
With quadrupeds, think what fun we'd have asking over crocodiles for tea.
This is Jacques Schiller. We're back here with Pet Chat on 1180 WFYL. So thanks for sticking around. We've been conversing with Steve Conway of the SPCA, been talking about dog and cat adoptions. And what other kind of animals do you take into the SPCA for adoption?
For adoptions, we take in dogs, cats, hamsters, rabbits, gerbils, guinea pigs, mice, rats, And we've also had some birds in as well. We're talking about things like parrots, parakeets, not so much your hawks or your eagles or anything like that.
But your, right, right.
Your typical house bird, as it were.
Now, where do the birds come from? Well, I mean, are they somebody pulls it out of a tree or something? Or
no, well, I mean, people have had parrots, parakeets as pets, and for some reason they just can't take care of them anymore, and they've brought them to us. Usually don't find them in a tree. We don't get any kind of like cardinals or robins or anything like that, but these are pets that people have had in their homes
right
for some length of time, and for whatever reason can't take care of anymore, and they bring them to the SPCA.
What's the most exotic bird you've ever got?
Oh boy, we've had a few macaws, which may not be the most exotic bird, but just some of their colorings with the red, the oranges, and the greens together, it's just a beautiful looking bird. We don't get a lot of them in. We get more of the parakeets, cockatiels, things like that. But
right.
Some of the macaws we have had color wise are just beautiful.
I lived in California most of my life, and I lived in Arcadia for a while, and it was close to the Arboretum. And every once in a while, we'd look out in our front yard, and there'd be a couple of gigantic birds. Actually, they weren't birds. They were pheasants. Well, I guess they're birds. And then we had these tall trees in the backyard and this band of budgies. Now, do you know what budgies are?
Never heard of a budgie.
Okay, a budgie is like a small parakeet. And it's all green, and they make a lot of noise, and there's like 100 of them. And they'd swoop down, and they'd be in the tree, and they'd stay there like over half a day just chatting away, and then the budgies would fly away and found another tree. And they'd come back every once in a while, but never got close enough to capture a budgie or the desire to take any of those big birds.
Mm-hmm.
So mostly rodents, I guess, you had besides the dogs and cats.
Yeah. I mean, we've had in a bunch of rabbits and hamsters. And yes, with those animals, we seem to get them in bunches. We might get someone who may have had a litter of 4, 5, 6, 7 hamsters that they can't take care of, and they bring them to us. And they usually don't get adopted all at the same time. They might go one here, one there, but over a period of time, they will get adopted.
Now, is it a lot harder to find folks to adopt hamsters and rabbits, or do they go quicker?
Well, I mean, there are dog people, there are cat people, there also are mice and rat people. It does take a little bit longer because when people come to SPCA, some don't even realize that we do have animals besides dogs and cats. They think dogs, cats, and that's it.
They come in for a dog or a cat, yeah. And the little kid says, "Oh, can I have the rabbit?"
Especially when we have in our small animal room, we call it at the SPCA.
Right.
We have the cats in the cages, and then we also have in cages on the other side of the room, we have the rabbits and the hamsters. And so they're all in the same room. So you go in looking for a cat, and then you look across the room and you say, "I didn't realize they had rabbits and hamsters here as well." So they're all together in the same room. So
right now down south, I've heard there's more wild snakes that I guess the pet police find.
We've had a few of those. We had a 3-foot long python one time. May have had a 6-foot long snake at one time as well, but we don't get a lot of snakes in. And even if we did get the snakes in, Jacques, we don't adopt them out to people.
You take them to the zoo?
To a wildlife center,
right,
or something
right,
like that. But we don't, you're not going to come to the SPCA and say, "Hey, adopt Bill the boa here." That's not going to work.
Right. Yeah, here's a big snake for
you.
Yeah. Now, that wouldn't work. Mm-mm. Now, how many pets, maybe dogs and cats, do you have at a kennel?
Well, I mean, countywide right now, we have approximately 20 dogs and we have about 70 cats up for adoption right now. Now, it is the summer. It is peak kitten breeding season. So we usually are busier with cats this time of year as opposed to the winter. We may not be quite as busy, but having 70 cats up for adoption right now, and these are at the shelters countywide. This is Perkiomenville, Abington, Conshocking combined.
Right.
We have about 70 up for adoption now as far as cats are concerned.
Now, Do you transfer, say, if you have you're having a tough time with certain cats or a bunch of dogs and you don't seem to be moving them, would you maybe transfer them to one of the other facilities to see if in that area they have better luck?
We've done that before with some animals, because some people, we usually get the people that live in the Conshohocken area, in the Abington area, they'll go to the shelter that's closest to them.
Right.
So they might not see, I mean, it's on our website, montgomerycountyspca.org, of all we have up for adoption at one time, but people will go to the shelter that's closest to them, and then if an animal has been there for a month, 2 months maybe, and we might transfer it down to a different shelter to give it a different group of people to come in and see it, and who may not have liked it up at one shelter, someone may see it at a different shelter and say, ooh, I'm going to have that dog or that cat and get out of it down there.
Now, right at the beginning, you were talking about taking your dog and your cat and your rabbit to schools, to grammar schools and junior highs, middle schools, you call them here in California, we call them junior high schools. Mm-hmm. Anyway, would you look for adoptees there, or just make the suggestion, if you guys are interested, have your parents come down to the SPCA and look around?
Yeah, I mean, I would just say, you know, have them come and look in the area of, I mean, we usually don't have any people trying to say, well, we know of a dog out in another state, we should just try, and we might refer them to different other shelters or things like that, but we don't go too far out of our general area.
Now, when I was a kid, this old man would pick me up in his Studebaker, and he would drive me to this kennel, and I would clean out these big areas. I'd hose them down, and then I'd put the dogs in these overnight small chambers. And when we brought them out in the morning, we'd have water and food for them, and then I'd clean out all the papers and stuff from the little cages, and then put them in again for the night. So it was a really neat job for a little kid. It was a little messy, but I didn't mind. Is that sort of what your place looks like? You have the big outdoor areas for them to sort of run around, and then you have night smaller cages for them, or how's it set up where you are?
What we'll do is we have kennel areas, so we have an inside area, and then in the morning, staff comes in around 8 o'clock in the morning, and they have to clean up as you did, clean up what you know the dogs and the cats left the night before. So we have an outdoor area. There, all the cages are divided, and then we raise up a little door. They go outside. They're still in their own area, just on the other side of the door. And then we clean the cages on the inside. And then when we open up for business at 10 o'clock on Saturdays, 11 during the week, and noon on Sundays, we'll bring them back in, if not before, when the cages are dried after cleaning them. And we'll bring them back in. And for the cats, we'll just, as we clean out one cage, we'll move the cat to a different cage where we clean out its cage, and then, you know, bring it back to the other cage when we're done.
Right, right. Okay. Now, you say you've been in the SPCA for 7 years, but you have a heritage of SPCA workers, I gather.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my family's been animal lovers as far back as I can remember. My grandfather was on the board of directors of the Montgomery County SPCA for approximately 25 years, I think. And one of the events that we did at the shelter every year for maybe about 5 or 6 years back in the late 80s, early 90s, is we would have pet photos with Santa. And we would have people come into the SPCA with their animals, and they would come in and get pictures taken. And my grandfather played Santa Claus. And I don't think we had any kind of accidents in the time that he was there. So everything was, you know, nothing was left behind by the cats or the dogs. But he had one animal, it was a bird one time, that I think they were a little bit nervous about, the owners were. And my grandfather said, bring him over and put him on his arm. And my grandfather started talking to the bird, and the bird was And the bird was fine. No problems at all. But, yeah, my grandfather was part of the SPCA for about 25 years. So
the bird was looking for a gift. That's why he liked your grandfather.
Yeah.
He wanted that little piece of food.
Mm-hmm. He didn't have anything at the time, I don't think, but they're always looking for... I think animals as general looking for food just in general. They just seem to enjoy eating whenever they can.
Now, those Christmas events, did they generate a lot of adoptions?
Yeah, I mean, the people that would come in would usually be bringing in their animals, but while they're there, if they know that they would like to get another animal, they can go through the kennels and the small animal rooms and see what we have up for adoption at a certain time. So
sure,
it probably had a few adoptions coming out of that. They say, well, we have an animal. We like this. We'd like to get another animal. While we're here, let's go up and see what they have and maybe adopt an animal while we're here.
Now, where would a person find information on upcoming events?
We go to MontgomeryCountySPCA.org. It's our main website, and at the top of the homepage, you'll see the word event. You can click on that. Some of the events we have coming up in the future, we have one that's coming up next Saturday, the 15th, at our Perkiomeville shelter. It's a clear out the shelter day. Now, you may have seen this advertised on local TV. NBC 10 and Channel 62 Telemundo are partnering up this clean out the shelters day, where the shelter, Perkiomeville, is the only one of three that's participating.
Okay.
All the adoption fees will be waived that day. Now, if you want to adopt a cat...
So the $60 for a dog and $25 for a cat, they're waived?
That'll be waived just for the day, but if you'd like to get some dog licenses that day for your dog, those fees still apply. We do offer feline AIDS and feline leukemia testing. There's a fee associated with that. That fee is still in play as well, and we also do the typical screening process for adoptions as well. That will not go away. So just because the animals might not have an adoption fee with them, that does not mean that we're still not going to do our background checks and make sure of a person's history.
But right. So if the fee, say I'm adopting a dog, mm-hmm. is $60 and that's waived, what's the license cost me? And do I have to buy the license right then?
If you wanted to get the license right then and there, I mean, you can get it at the SPCA or at the state treasurer's office, but it's about $6.50.
Oh, it's nothing.
So it's not a major thing. And it's a requirement by law to have your dog licensed.
To do it within like 30 days from the time of the adoption, or is there a time period?
I think there is a time limit, but it has to be. So you have to buy one for the year 2015. And then near the end of the year 2015, you can either renew it online or you can go back to the SPCA and buy it in person for 2016. As we get closer to the end of this year, you can do that. But yeah, the license fees are only about $6 or $7, and as I said before, it is required by law, and the fine for having a dog without a license is a lot more than the $6 or $7 you're going to pay for a dog license. So it's worth paying the license.
Right, a nominal fee. Why spend $100 or $200 on a fine?
Yeah.
So you don't want to always hear about these, but you do. Kids in cars, and I'm sure mm-hmm. you have stories of dogs in cars.
It seems to be running pretty rampant, especially these days. That people will go to the mall or go to the grocery store, and it's 90 degrees outside, and a dog is left in a car.
And they think by putting down the window just a hair, that's good enough.
Having a dog in a car when the car is off and it's about 90 degrees outside, you're looking at about 120 inside. So, I mean, it's a lot hotter inside. But if you see a dog that has experienced some sort of overheating, things you can do is just putting a dog in a bathtub to start, and then running a cool shower, not a freezing cold shower,
right,
over the pet. Especially the back of the head and the neck, and just allow the water to fill up the bathtub as you shower the dog. If getting it in the tub isn't going to work too well, a garden hose will work as fine as well, or in a kiddie pool with some cool water in it. They also say you can apply a cold pack to the dog's head to lower body temperature. If you don't have an ice pack or a cold pack around, a package of frozen vegetables, they say, also works as well.
Always on the back of the neck where the spinal column is.
Yep. And then also let the dog drink as much cool or cold water as it wants as well. So, I mean, again, this is something we've seen a lot recently about animals being left in cars, and it's really important just, you know, make sure that even though, well, I'm only going to go to the store for 5 minutes, I won't be in there very long.
And they forget their pets out there.
5 minutes is plenty of time for a dog to get overheated. So make sure that in anything like this as well, also when taking dogs out for walks, I know that I take my dog out for a walk in the humid weather. It's a very, very short walk. Pretty much do what you have to do, and then we'll bring you back inside. But if you can limit your walks to a lot less than you would normally, especially when it's really, really hot outside, it would really benefit the dog.
Right. Now, I'm sure in your 7 years, you have experienced some unusual pets, or you've heard of unusual stories. Why don't you hit me up with a couple?
Okay. One time we had somebody call us at our shelter in Green Lane, or call us in Perkinsville. Lady was from Green Lane, and she said, I have a 4-foot-tall kangaroo. It's in my backyard. It's not my kangaroo. It wasn't. It was not her kangaroo. It jumped over her backyard fence and started to try and, I guess, eat some of the grass. And they called the SPCA to come out and try and catch it.
Was she close to a zoo or something?
If you're up in Green Lane, there's Green Lane Park up there. So, I mean, it is very rural up there, but I don't know of any zoos that are up in that area. So we tried, when I say we, I wasn't working there at the time, so I wasn't part of it. I've just heard the stories.
Right.
But our shelter manager at Perkiomville and our head vet went up and tried to catch the kangaroo. The problem is, if you get too close to a kangaroo that's not very happy, that they've heard they can try and kick.
Yes.
And we didn't want to get kicked by a kangaroo. So we tried very carefully. He ended up hopping away. And then I think that he got caught eventually. Then I'd say probably the most interesting one was about 3 years ago at our shelter in Conshohocken, and one of my coworkers had a phone call saying, and the first three words out of the mouth apparently was, "Is it legal?" When you start a sentence with "Is it legal?", you're not really sure what's coming after that.
Is it legal to?
Yes. And so the lady said, "Is it legal to have a 260-pound panther as a pet in our house?" And we said, "No, it's not
only
legal
for 30 minutes until you're eaten."
And we said, "It's not really a good idea to have a panther as a pet." And then she said, "Well, if we can't have him, can we bring him to the SPCA?" Now we're thinking, we're not sure how it's going to get to the SPCA.
Right. Just put him in the car and drive him there.
And we said, "Well, it's not legal to have. We can't adopt him out." But she kept trying to say, "Oh, but he's a very nice and friendly panther," and just kept trying to sell us on that. And we said, "It doesn't really matter how nice or friendly
you should have taken him in just to see what he looked like."
Now we never saw the panther. We never heard any kind of panther noises in the background, so you don't know if it was a joke or if it was a real panther. We said,
"And you heard nothing on the news?"
No, but it's, you know, those are the kind of things that, you know, wild animals are not meant to be anybody's pets. Those are the kind of animals. Again, those kind of cases don't happen. I think the kangaroo was probably 8 or 10 years ago. The panther was about 3 years ago. So things like that we don't get in, we don't hear about all the time, and no one, I don't think, has been to our door with a leashed kangaroo waiting for us to open for business. So I don't think that's ever happened, but I mean, we've been here for about 105 years, so we've heard some interesting stories, rare as they may are, but still very interesting.
Now, there are folks that buy these little baby alligators that grow in their bathtubs.
Yeah, we've heard of stories about someone that went fishing and they caught like a 3-foot-long alligator and thought the SPCA should have it. And we can't take care of them. We can't adopt them out to people.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean,
and you're not flushing them down the toilet.
No. And but we've heard of people that have tried to have alligators as pets living in their bathtub, and not something that I would advise doing, but we've definitely heard the stories before.
Junior, it's time for your bath. No, don't put me in the alligator pit.
I don't think that would go over too well.
Not at all. Yeah. So what other stories have you heard?
Well, I think those are the main stories. I think one time we had we have a staff member that lives up near the Perkiomville shelter and said that anybody might get a, if anybody's working up here on Saturday, you might see a few cows that have decided to roam around, not into the SPCA, but just kind of onto the SPCA property. They quickly found their way back home, but we did have some cows on the grounds for a little bit, maybe about a few months ago. We've also had, in our barn at our shelter in Perkiomville, we do have 5 horses. We also had at one point a couple of goats, a sheep, and some chickens and a pig as well. The horses are about 25 or 30 years old, so for horses, that's old. They're going to kind of just hang out with us for their lives and kind of retire with us. But again, we don't get horses in all the time.
Would you advertise for someone to adopt a horse?
Yeah, I mean we have in the past, and I know that we had the chickens and the pigs, and we will find special places for them to go to. It's not going to be just hey, come up here and adopt a pig. It's the pig is about 250 pounds, I think, too. So but for something special like that, we might call some places and see if they can take the animals. But other than that, no, we just have them just kind of retire with us.
My first SPCA adoption was in Los Angeles, where I'm from, and it was near Christmas time, and my wife wanted a little dog. So I went to the SPCA, and I'm walking around in the back, and they all have their little cards that I give a little history, or just that they have their shots, and not that they have their names. But anyway, there was this little dachshund, just an adorable dachshund, that was up on the side of the cage, and and I said, I'd like to adopt that one. And the guy says, well, you can't. It came in about a week ago, and they have to be here for 10 days before you could adopt them. And I said, okay. So I found another dog, and not as cute or anything. And I took the card, and I went up front, and I paid my fee. And I came back, and the guy was gone. So I traded cards with the little dachshund. And I said, here's the payment, and here's the card. And he gave me the little dachshund. So he was literally a hot dog. And I told my wife that story about 3 or 4 years later, because I felt guilty, but not too guilty. I mean, it's 3 days. Who wants to have the dog sit there in a kennel over Christmas? So it was a great Christmas gift. It was Dinky, and she lived with us for 14 years, and she was a great dog. She would run so fast that when she turned around, her body kept going backwards, and she's scurrying with her front feet to stop herself and then go forward. So it was just amazing, that little dog. So what kind of pets do you have?
Well, I have the three animals that I talked about. The dog goes home with me every night. The cat and the rabbit that I have, they are kind of like office mascots. But the dog will go home with me every night, thinks that, my breakfast, lunch, and dinner are her breakfast, lunch, and dinner, because she's spoiled like that. So I have to make sure, nope, sorry, you can't have those. But she's the three animals I take out for places. They are the animals that I have, or at least I take care of.
So do you have kids?
I do not have kids, no.
So your animals are your kids?
Pretty much, yes. I have a wife, no kids, but the animals are the children.
What did your wife have any unusual pets? Was she
No, I mean,
in
no,
her time.
No, her family's a big beagle family, so they've had they have a couple beagles when she was growing up, and those are the main animals that she had when she was growing up. So nothing exotic out there, just beagles.
Well, Steve Conway of the SPCA, thanks for coming in to Pet Chat. It's been a great hour. I want to thank everyone for listening in to AM 1180 WFYL. This has been Pet Chat. Have a great day. Buffalo and beagle, alligator, guinea pig, and flea.